Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
From the After 9 Podcast Studios, this is After 9 with Scott and Kat.
Hello, friends, and welcome. Dave Blizzard, how do you do?
I do well, thank you. Scott should be back at some point this week. That's probably us just jumping in to say...
I think we should.
Hey, just want to stop. Oh, 1,000 messages coming through. I'll be back soon.
Yeah. We know you're going to DM, and I know you're going to wonder. Yes, he's okay.
Yep.
Yes, he'll be back this week. I think that's all we need to say at this point, right?
That's all we can say.
That's all we can say.
He'll be back
and
when he's back.
What he wants to say when he does come back is his choice. Did you have a good weekend?
I think.
Flew by. Did it go by fast for you too?
Too fast.
Way too fast.
I know Scott's a big advocate for the 3-day weekends or the 4-day
work
weeks.
4-day work weeks,
yes. He's big on that. Like really, really big on that. And I understand why.
Yeah.
Man, it just goes so fast.
Yeah.
We work so hard.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the weekend rolls around and you're going, you snap a finger and you blink twice and it's gone.
You know, it's so funny. On that note, I just saw something that came down today that the most CEOs that they've ever had answering the survey said that they were good with a 4-day work week. It was 30-something percent. It still wasn't like super high. But I guess when they had surveyed CEOs about it, they're like, no. But 35% is actually high for that.
Yeah.
CEOs, though. Those are CEOs.
Maybe some shifting in the mentality a little bit. Well, it'd be interesting to see it happen. I don't know how you do it. There's going to be a million and one questions.
Yes.
There always are. Like, yes. What about stores? What about businesses? And it's like, well, I guess you could still do all the normal stuff. And are you still doing 40 hours a week? Would you take less pay if you were willing to work less?
If that's what it was. Or do you do longer days the days you're working? I don't even think you need to do that. Like, they say that because you're only working 4 days, the people who do this, and I know someone who's on this, I'm super jealous. He gets Fridays off. He doesn't work Fridays. That's the company standard.
Mm-hmm.
You work Monday to Thursday, and then you get Friday, Saturday, Sunday off. They're more productive doing that than they are with a 5-day work week. They get more done. They have more clients on board just doing what they do. So I think there's, and that's one example of many, many, many who've said that it actually has improved because the people who work there are excited. Not just that, they have trouble getting them to take their vacation. Whereas like, cause they're not as exhausted.
Yeah.
So they have to remind them constantly, like, you haven't taken any vacation yet. They're like, oh, right. Every weekend's a long weekend. I kind of forget that I have vacation days. So they feel happier. There's a lot of pluses to it.
Well, there's the whole work-life balance thing. We're so bad at it. Like,
so
just
bad.
In general.
So bad.
Just really, really terrible at it. And I don't know if it's a mentality thing in North America or what. Somebody had told me that it was a eye opener for them when they had a conversation with somebody in Europe and they were talking about like their lives and they said, mm-hmm. "What do you do for fun?" was the first question that they were asked.
Yeah.
Where and then they had to think about it and they thought most of the time the first question is, "Oh, what do you do?"
Yes.
For work.
Yes.
We're identified by our jobs.
Yeah.
We place ourselves in classes mm-hmm. based on our jobs.
Yeah.
So the first question that comes out of somebody's mouth is, oh, what do you do for a living?
Yeah, because that partially defines who you are, which is sad. And on the note of European, because it's so true. You go to a lot of different countries. They do things so differently. I remember when I went to France, this is so long ago, but I went to France and I was like in southern France at the time. And it was the weirdest sight to see every business shut down at the same time. They mm-hmm. all actually-
Like during the day, right?
During the day, middle of the day.
Siesta.
Everybody takes a break. Everybody, and that's true. Like there's only certain stores that will remain open, and that's more so for like your convenience store type of things might stay open, but otherwise everything shuts down and everybody takes a break. Everyone just piles outside and enjoys the nice weather in that case. And I just thought nobody would ever buy into that. If you were like right here in this day and age, in this province, we're all going to shut down between 2 and 3 o'clock or whatever. Let's find our hour. No one's going to do that.
I'm just daydreaming about how great it would
amazing?
Be. I would love that.
I know.
I'd love that to be a thing.
Anyway, it's not, but we continue to try to get that 4-day work week be a norm.
And okay.
And you're right. We have a lot of questions and not any standardized answers.
People would like it to get done and then we figure it out.
And then we figure it out.
It doesn't work that way.
But honestly, it can work that way.
No, it cannot.
It can. No. We can just solve it as we go. Figure it out as we go.
But if you get it wrong the first while, you could screw it up to the point where you never do it ever again if you're not prepared. And secondly, if you go into it and go, we'll fix it after. Most people don't like to fix things after the fact. When you give somebody something for free, they never want to pay for it afterwards.
Right.
So if you're like, it's fine. Your week's got a little shorter. No problem. Everything's fine. But then when you're realizing, oh, crap, there's a bunch of work that's not getting done, we're going to have to adjust it. People are going, wait, no. We just changed it. I'm not switching back. No. And then it becomes a whole big deal.
And that's exactly what I would say, by the way.
Exactly.
I'm not doing it.
I know. That's why when people want to rush things through and get them done, and it's all just for these reasons, because they just...
Yeah.
They'd rather just have it in place and then be like, no, it's ours. No, you can't take it away.
You can't take it. Maybe that's why we want to rush into it so bad. But it does work. Anyway, it is proven to work in a lot of cases is all I'm saying.
Okay.
You had a great story that you read on distracted driving today.
Yeah.
Distracted driving is bad. Anyone getting into a collision is bad. That said, this is an interesting one.
It's an interesting story because it reminded me about how it wasn't that long ago that when we drove, we could use our cell phones. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't that long ago before the distracted driving laws came in. And it's kind of funny now because you drive down the highway, you drive by somebody. If there's somebody on their phone, don't you look at them like, what the hell are you doing?
Well, just
like, do you think it's so strange?
Yes,
it's just odd that we don't see it anymore, right?
You know what it is for me, too? It's like there's no, I don't even mean to say, okay, you could say there's no excuse, but also like, it's 2024. There's so many ways that you can use your phone while you're driving still.
Yeah.
There's a CarPlay or Samsung, or you just hook it up. Just get an adapter. Like, it's not,
Bluetooth.
Like, a ton of different ways to do it.
Yeah.
You don't need to be texting while you're driving either. You don't have to.
But distracted driving comes in many different ways.
Yes, it
does. And so this happened to a guy in BC. He was driving, and police arrived on scene to find his car smashed up enough that it had to be towed away. He walked away with no serious injuries, which was really good. Unfortunately, he admitted to the police that unfortunately he was distracted driving. What he was reaching for was a piece of fried chicken.
Fried chicken while you're driving?
Just seems to me like an odd thing to eat while you're driving because of the grease. Because of the mess.
Very messy.
Yeah. You're dripping chicken all over yourself.
That's the kind of car I don't even want to be in. If you're the type of person to buy greasy chicken to put on your passenger seat, I don't even care where it is in your car, and you're going to drive with your greasy ass hands all over your now greasy ass steering wheel, maybe clean it off, maybe not, put those prints all over your car, I bet your car's disgusting. I would have loved to see the rest of that person's car.
If a person's willing to eat fried chicken while they're driving, do you think it's the same kind of person who wipes their hands on the side of the seat?
Yes. And they don't respect their car. Then they don't.
Gross.
And they don't respect the car.
No, they don't.
So if they don't respect the car, think about that.
Ugh.
And look, I'm not saying you have to have a pristine car. That's not what I'm saying. But it's disgusting to have your dirty, greasy paws all over your. You obviously don't give a shit. So if you don't care about that, there's a lot of things you probably don't care about in the cleanly category.
Do you eat while you drive?
Have I? Yes. Do I often? No. But my kids do. I should have a policy in place. If you're a parent of children, if you're a parent of young children, and you put in a policy of no eating in the car and you've stuck by it, I don't even know how you do that. Congratulations, good for you. If I take my kids for any longer than a half hour in a car, they need to have something. Whether it's a snack I bring for them, whether we stop and drive through and get them something, they want something in the car if we're doing any form of road trip. Like, unless we're going to like a simple short destination, I got to get them snacks. So it's them that eats more in the car than me. I have coffee in the car, though, and I've definitely spilled my coffee before. Oh, absolutely.
Do you clean it up when you spill it?
Yeah, I try to. One day, it was...
Do you clean it up while you're driving? You ever had that where you spilled and you're like, oh, crap, and you're trying to wait? Yeah, see, that's distracted. Yeah, you should be in jail. you should be in prison.
Yes, I should be hung at this somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Taken out to the
stones thrown at me until I die.
That's right. You're going to be brought out to the shooting range.
Yeah.
You're done.
Yes, I've done it. I've spilled my coffee. It's on myself, on my car. Absolutely. I've been distracted by food, to answer your question. Absolutely. But fried chicken's a different one. Like, I don't know a lot of people that would do that. It's like right up there with, I don't know, you have ramen while you're driving. Like, what do you...
I like a nice vegetable and hummus while I'm driving. A little roasted red pepper hummus on my lap.
Like, to me, there's ones that are a little easier. Like, if you're having a wrap, That's a good example.
That's easy enough.
Clean.
A bagel.
A bagel. That's clean-ish, right? I mean, it might be a little messy, but at least it's not distracting messy. Like, I feel like you can still eat that and drive. You shouldn't probably have anything in drive, I guess one could argue, but still.
Well, one will argue.
One will argue.
That is what they suggest from the officials and from the police when they're pulling people over. Maybe don't do anything other than focus on your driving while you're driving. That's usually what they tell you.
Yeah. I know, we're supposed to be focused on that, aren't
we? See, Kat usually doesn't get that far in that conversation. She's already sweet-talked her way out of a ticket at this point. Meanwhile, I'm on the ground. I've been pepper-sprayed twice.
By the way.
They're standing on my back.
I did actually get out of a distracted driving ticket. It was when the law first came into effect, no cell phones, and I was on my cell phone. However, I know.
Tisk.
So my oldest daughter, she was in the back. At the time, she was like, Jacqueline was like 2 years old. Mm-hmm. So I was like, so the cop was like, woo. I was like, oh, shoot. Act cute. I said to her in the back, she's like, what? And I said, which was true, I was grabbing my phone to plug it in because I had like the system to use. But I said, I was grabbing my phone and I had the cord in the other hand. Did you see that? But that was also a distraction. So I understand, officer. I understand. Like, I was distracted trying to plug my phone in, but I was trying to do the right thing because I had to make a phone call. So I didn't make the phone call on my phone. You could see my call history and I offered up everything. Like, you could see I wasn't calling, but I was plugging my phone in so I could call and they let me off the hook.
Was it a warning?
They didn't write in. All right, Mom.
Be off.
Yeah, I was driving around in the middle of wherever that accent comes from. Yeah.
All right, keep going, ma'am.
All right there, ma'am. I'm going to let it pass.
You don't even say ma'am.
Okay, ma'am.
Sure thing, ma'am.
What's the last thing you got pulled over for?
Probably speeding.
Yeah, big speeder.
I used to have a pretty heavy foot. I've gotten it under control, but I used to have a bit of a lead foot.
Was that pre-young baby now? Lead foot? Are you more careful with your kid in the car?
Yes.
Like, I think in general, most people
are. Yes. I'm definitely more.
I used to fly down the highway.
I'm definitely a safer driver with my kids in the car.
Well, I hope.
Definitely.
That's the truth and the case. Seriously, I used to like fly down the highway to get to work sometimes, like buck 40. No problem.
Look at this.
I know. Bad. But I don't do that anymore. If I go near 120, if I even go near 120, I'm like, ooh.
F1 cat over here. I didn't know. Lewis Hamilton life.
Scott used to joke about it on the radio, but he wasn't wrong. I did speed quite a bit. Not that, like, I mean, I don't know. To me, like, everybody else was going a buck 40. So I was just doing what they were doing. But it's
you know
still
that
bad.
Excuse doesn't work, right?
It doesn't make it right.
If you get pulled over and they say, you know, what was your reason for speeding? And you try to tell them something like, I was keeping pace with traffic. They won't take that.
I know. Luckily, I didn't get pulled over for that. Just distracted driving and speeding another time too. But anyway, we won't talk about that. Did you see all? We can change subjects now.
Get us 9 demerit points.
Wait, Octavia, what was the last thing you were pulled over for?
I haven't been pulled
You've never been pulled over. No.
Look at this. Now it's a mission. We got to get her pulled over.
So
we're gonna send her on missions.
What I want you to do is a buck 40 down the highway. No, I'm just kidding.
Grand Theft Octavia.
Good for you. That's good. Keep your record clean. My record's clean because I never actually got a ticket for anything. I just got caught, but pulled over, never got a ticket.
I did get a ticket once when I was young for passing on the wrong side.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do that? Yeah. Like, they actually give tickets,
pass,
I mean?
Yeah, you pass on the right.
Wow.
You're actually not allowed to do that.
Right. I didn't even know. I mean, I knew that was a thing. In driver school, they said that, but I didn't know they actually issued tickets for it.
I would love if driver's schools would teach a little bit about road etiquette. As much as they teach about like the rules of the road, etiquette about like which lanes to be in, things like that, paying attention when there's people turning into a lane that's beside your lane, like all kinds of stuff. There's just things that I didn't learn in driving school that I had to learn, you know, the hard way or learn real fast on the roads in real time. And it would be, I don't know, maybe it's changed since, but I just know that from my experience, I didn't get any of that. I would have loved to learn about just sort of how to share the road a little bit better. And or, you know, it's not just about the 10 and 2 and checking your window every 5 milliseconds. Yes. There's a lot of other things that go into driving a car, and being aware of what's happening around you is a huge part of it.
Pedestrians included.
Oh,
I find people lack that.
Right.
Because where I live, there's a lot of roundabouts. There's a lot of roundabouts in the region. And people forget the pedestrians cross it. And I've seen people almost get hit by cars so many times.
Yep.
It's insane because they don't look for pedestrians. Or even if they're turning right on a red or whatever the case is, they're not paying attention to people.
So remind me of the rule. It's vehicles always have the right of way, even on sidewalks. Is that No,
even
am I wrong
on
that?
Sidewalks and especially in parking lots.
Okay, good.
Yeah, that's good.
I just wanted to make sure I had it right.
Obviously.
I just don't want to give any misinformation.
No.
So for those listening, you are allowed to drive on the road. You're also allowed to drive on the sidewalk.
Oh, that's okay, correct, okay. Yeah.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, okay, good.
Duh.
Good.
Yeah, that's right there. Sorry. Question number two on the test, isn't it?
Duh.
Duh.
That's Donculus. A fact.
Okay, I have never been more jealous than the people that went to Coachella this weekend.
Are you really?
A little bit. I don't know. Coachella's okay. The last time I saw something that was like amazing was like, I thought Beyonce's Coachella set, which was, by the way, 6 years ago now. I watched the documentary on it. Yeah. I don't know if anybody else did. Incredible. But I've never been to Coachella. That said, though, do you see all the surprises that showed up this weekend? So you got Will Smith, who joined J Balvin on stage and sang Men in Black.
Random.
So random. I wonder if there was an anniversary, though. I didn't actually look into it that hard. I think he just did it to get people to like him again.
That's
if
a good
I'm
way.
Being
Go
honest,
play the hits.
He actually wore like the suit and everything, like sunglasses, suit, full nine, did a bit of the dance. Not quite the same as he used to be, but he did pretty good.
Why?
I don't know. Like he wasn't promoting anything in particular. Although Bad Boys, he does have Bad Boys and stuff like that. But coming
still?
Up,
is that still on the go?
Yeah, it's coming out this summer.
Worst
I
Boys.
I don't know when. Yeah, it's bad.
It's the final one.
The
worst Boys.
One? The fourth one?
They're not bad. They're not badder. They're the worst.
I guess he could have done a cover of Bad Boys or something like that, but who knows? Anyway, he showed up like Men in Black. That's a cool video if you want to look it up, if you like Will Smith, or if you're thinking about liking Will Smith again.
Yeah.
He wants you to.
I've had him in my rotation of consideration of enjoyment again.
He's one of those people, though, I do put in that category of like, I wish he didn't do that stupid shit.
Oh, yeah.
But his was not the worst. Like, he did. He slapped someone in the face. He was violent and unnecessarily violent.
Yep.
Bad.
Kanye's in that boat for me.
Kanye's also like anti-Semitism slurs.
I can't support the guy.
Well, like for me, Will's a little safer in that area. Like, yes, did he slap a guy? Oh, absolutely. Bad. But is it that bad?
Well, I'm not
I can still like him a little bit.
I'm not putting I'm not saying apples to apples in that, but I know the feeling of like, you know, Kanye, I've been a fan of his music for a long time and I'm just like, I can't do this with you.
Time,
like, I can't support somebody like that says the stupid stuff you say. Like, I can't do it.
But you're telling me, if you're a fan of Kanye a long time, me too. So let's go back like College Dropout. You're telling me even that knowing the Kanye you knew then even, we had to all predict that he would do something like this.
Not to this extent.
You know what? I think so.
You think that there was that, like the signs were there at the time? You think so?
Yeah. Because he was the way he was.
He was eccentric.
Eccentric.
But he wasn't quite.
And surrounded himself with a lot of yes people. And that's what happens with these people. Everything he does was yes, absolutely. You're right. Yeah. Until he says something that's like, oh, fuck.
I think it all went down when his mom died. I think when Donda died, she was the one person I think that was able to get through to him, talk some sense. And then when his mom died, I feel like everything was went weird.
Off the rails.
Yeah. And just got worse and worse and worse. And he was one of those guys that got some attention for some of the flashier, controversial stuff he was doing. And then it became the formula. Everything's got to be crazier and wilder and sillier and, you know, more eccentric and more shocking and everything you say. I don't know what he feels. I don't know the guy. I don't know what he feels in his heart. I don't know. But I just know that when you get into that territory, when you start talking anti-Semitism and stuff, I'm like, I'm out, man.
There's no way back.
I can't be there for you on this. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, this is, I can't condone it. I can't support it.
Right?
I can't. It's not good for me.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
It's interesting how some people can come back from certain things they say and some people can't, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it was so funny. Didn't he tweet or X or post or whatever they call it now? He posted something about after all the anti-Semitism. Then he posted something about watching 21 Jump Street and realized that everything he said about the Jews was wrong because of how much he liked Jonah Hill.
Yeah.
I was kind of like, well, however you get there,
what?
As long as you don't hate them, I can. I'm like, no, this is stupid. Never mind.
Well, you know, watching this, I kind of like that guy, so I must like the Jews.
Yeah, you know, maybe I was wrong about the Jewish folks.
But yeah, I mean, it's people just, Kanye, I don't know. Going back to Coachella, No Doubt had Olivia Rodrigo on.
That's fun.
Fine. Nothing wrong with that. And Justin Bieber was there. So he joined Thames. He started singing one of Thames's songs. That's how you say it, sure. And then Kesha showed up in the middle of Renee Rapp's set and sang TikTok. But she changed the lyrics from, wake up in the morning feeling like P. Diddy to wake up in the morning, fuck you, P. Diddy. And then she showed her middle finger.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So I guess she tells us where she stands then.
She's going to have to go back and re-record the song?
She might have to. She might. When you think about what she went through, allegedly, yeah, with Dr. Luke, uh-huh, right? To her, he's probably a little bit reminiscent of Dr. Luke Power versus all the, like, and Predator, essentially, is sure what she's in her mind, I'm sure she's thinking.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? Not that she knew.
So this, this thing with Coachella, I feel like it's been the last few years, it's been all about the surprises. Is that a worrisome,
yeah,
kind of thing where it's like you got to outdo the surprises every year or else it's not going to be as interesting anymore?
I hear what you're saying. And this is another problem I have with Toronto concerts. With Toronto concerts, a lot of people will assume, depending on the artist, of course, for some artists, they don't even think about it. But for other artists, they'll go, well, maybe Drake will show up. Maybe The Weeknd will show up. Maybe Shawn Mendes will show up. Because obviously those are the main concerts that I attend are in Toronto. I don't do a lot of venturing outside of the city to go to concerts. But that's a go-to for a lot of people. And then it's almost a disappointment for them when they don't show up.
That's what I mean. Like,
or
if you're
Eminem,
going,
when you're going to see a show in Detroit, like, fucking hope Eminem shows up. Like, why are we setting ourselves up for this?
But the thing is he does sometimes.
But he does.
Like when Ed Sheeran's on stage and then Eminem comes out, you're like, oh, this is awesome.
Yes.
But I think it's a surprise. It's a bonus. It's exciting. But you shouldn't go and then base it all on that. You should be going for the performances, I would hope. Coachella's a big schmoz anyway. We're all like, let's just be seen at Coachella.
It's a cesspool of just, yeah, that. But when you think about it, though, like, look at I'm going to go back and use Beyonce as an example. When you see, like, Beyonce headlined.
Yeah.
Now, she might have had, did she not have someone? She probably even had people show up, didn't she?
I don't remember.
I think Kelly Rowland showed up and sang with her or something. Anyway, whatever. They do it to themselves is what I'm trying to say. Like, these artists, like, you're absolutely right. J Balvin can do a headline set and doesn't need anyone to come on stage. Doesn't need Will Smith to come on stage. I'm sure people would still be happy, but they do get excited about it. So once you get that crowd excited about the fact that someone else could be popping up, you're stuck now. Every Coachella set has to have someone in it.
So I'm saying, so when you get booked for Coachella, is your first thought, yes, I can't wait to play Coachella? Or is it, oh crap, now I got to find somebody to show up on stage yes with me that nobody would expect.
Or else you're going to be that person that is just you. And they're like, who showed up with them? And they're like, just them. Like, oh, boring.
I'd announce something totally impossible and ridiculous. I get up there and be like, Dave Lizard performing at Coachella featuring James Brown.
Yes.
You're like, but James Brown is dead. I said featuring James Brown.
If it's not featuring like Phil Collins or something, I'm out.
And then now everyone's going to watch and I'm going to have a hologram of James Brown. It's going to be the best.
Yeah. Ow. Wait, what does that James Brown do?
Wait, was that a James Brown impression? What? Kat, what's the James Brown impression?
Ow! Oh, thank you. That's better. I knew it was a sound.
Papa's got a brand new bag.
Yeah, it was not a. That was more of a hee.
Yeah, you're
MJ?
You're confusing your dead singers.
I'm sorry.
Come on in. Papa's got a brand new bag. I feel good. Living in America. By the way, this is just a reference out of nowhere that no one asked for. Bruno Mars is the living embodiment of Michael Jackson, Prince, and James Brown. Go see him live and you will be blown away.
I'm worried about seeing him live because I feel like I'm feeding into his gambling addiction.
Oh, yeah.
Allegedly. Okay, so whatever happened with that?
Guys, that was a story that came out about a month ago?
About a month ago.
Came out that Bruno Mars had like this crazy, crazy gambling debt from his time in Vegas. Like $50 million he owed a casino or something like that.
MGM.
And then MGM put out a statement that said, not true, and then never heard anything about it again.
Carefully worded statement. It said, Bruno currently owes us nothing. It was worded a certain way where I'm
in good standing.
Is in good standing.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean he didn't owe. It doesn't mean that wasn't true at one point.
Yeah. That's right.
And
it never
said nothing, which was very interesting. He said nothing. I'm on it, though. I would love, not that he won't do it. It's not like he's going to be like, yeah, guys, I'm a fucking degenerate gambler. It's true. Every time you go and see my show, I spend all that money. But I could see that actually being true.
I saw the Silk Sonic show in Vegas with him and Anderson .Paak.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Legitimately one of the top three shows I've ever seen in my life.
I'd imagine that they seem the type, because I saw them perform like on a television like program of some kind. And it looked like they rehearsed the shit out of that. So I could imagine for a show, to put on a show, they probably rehearsed
so
and
they
rehearsed and rehearsed.
It was the year that the Grammys were in Vegas. Yeah. It's a couple years back. That it was the weekend. The guy left on the Friday, and the Grammys were on the Sunday. So they performed. We saw them on, I think it was like Thursday night or something like that. Oh, and then Sunday was the Grammys, and they performed that song that they wrote about Vegas.
Uh-huh.
It's like 7-7-7, and it's like da-da-da, da-da-da. It's so good.
So good.
It's so, so friggin' good. And in live, oh, they just so much. There's an energy between Anderson .Paak and Bruno Mars. They switch off and play drums on each other's songs and do all this like really, really, really good stuff. Like the music is unbelievable. The band is so tight. I hope they tour eventually at some point, mm-hmm. because it was just such a fun show that I'm like, it's criminal that it's only here in Vegas.
I also miss, wasn't Bruno Mars supposed to put out some music too? Like solo as well?
I thought this year.
That's not so true. Yeah, maybe he will.
I hope so.
He owes some money, so he might as well make some. Yeah. Allegedly. Allegedly.
I can't, are you a gambler?
So I mean, when I go to Vegas and stuff, I will go to a casino, but I don't go often enough. Like I have a limit and I do stay within it. I'm pretty good with
good
that.
For you.
I don't get addicted or have feel like I can't leave or anything like that. I'm like, okay.
Do you go with a budget? Like, do you go thinking I'm going to spend $100 tonight? Yeah. I know it. And that's it. If I lose $100, I'm happy. I get it.
Yeah.
But if I win anything more than that, then you're good to go.
Absolutely. And I purposely don't hit like up tables or anything like that. I stay away from like table. I'm just like boring. I do slots. Sometimes I'll do roulette,
yeah,
but I really keep it moderate. I like watching other people. That's like, actually, casino is a place where it's like you watch other people spend their money. It's kind of interesting.
My wife got into blackjack when we were in Vegas.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. My sister-in-law, who I'm probably going to Vegas with at the end of this year. I've been to Vegas with her before a couple times, including when we got married. My husband and I got married in Vegas. She's hard into blackjack though. Like she's one of those people you can't get her off the table. Like I've gone over there and been like trying to convince her like, come on, let's go do something else. She's like, no. It's hot. Table's hot. Gotta
Table's
stay.
Hot. When you people start talking like that, you're like, I got to get the hell out of here.
I don't even know how to play it. Like, I'm so slow. And you know, blackjack's one of those ones you play with everybody, right? Like, you're against the dealer, essentially.
Yeah.
I would be such a disappointment to the people I played with because I'd be like, what do I do? I'd probably be asking them what I do. Like,
and they don't want to be babysitting you during that either.
No, they don't. So I stay away.
Yeah, you're playing the table games. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go to Hell's Kitchen and go and get myself a beef Wellington.
And I would.
Yeah, that would be so good, wouldn't it?
I do love Vegas.
I like the table games a little bit. I find that I'll play like just for fun. And my wife gets into blackjack. I get into Jack Daniels. And it's a perfect relationship.
I love that.
She's playing. I sit there and be like, yeah, I'll have another drink.
Vegas is the best place for that because you just like keep it coming. As long as you're with the one who's gambling, they'll just keep bringing it to you.
Are they getting slower in between visits? Because my friend was telling me like it used to be like
constant
coming around to the table to make sure you got what you need.
Yeah.
And it's not as much anymore.
Oh, you know what they changed? I'll tell you what they changed. When my husband and I went last year.
You sound like you're in the 30s. You know what they changed, Sam? Yeah. I'm going to tell you what they changed.
I'm going to tell you. Because it's actually all right. So you know what they have now? So up at the bars, they have games that you can play and sit at the bar. So the last time that my husband and I were there, we're playing these games at the bar. And I'm going, where the fuck is the, like, I want my drink. So they have lights now on these games. You have to spend a certain amount of money in the game before your light goes green and then they'll let you have a drink.
Really?
Yes.
No
way. So you can't just sit there and try to pretend or play like penny at a time. You can't do that anymore. You have to play a certain amount and then your light goes. So the girl was like rooting for me. She's like, come on, honey, I want to make you a drink. Keep playing. And I'm like,
sitting there playing.
I had to get playing to get a drink. So yes, they have changed and that is new. I'd never seen those machines before until the last time that I was in Vegas. So I'm sure also in them coming around to the tables, maybe similarly, they have to look and see how active you are with chips. I don't know how it works with that because how can they keep track? But I'm telling you, those machines, they light up now.
They patted me down. They're like, these pockets are getting a little thin.
Hang on. Let me see. Wait, they just feel your aura. Yeah. They're like, you feel poor.
I can feel your thigh meat, sir. There's not a lot of money in there. I can directly feel your thighs.
You're only here for the free shit. We don't like you.
Yeah.
You're not spending any money.
I can touch your quads, and I know for sure you're not spending enough here.
Nope, you're not doing it.
Hamstrings?
No, sir.
Not here. Not in our casino.
We'll keep this pod short, I suppose. But now I really want to go to Vegas, so I might have to book that
soon.
Yeah,
me too.
Yeah.
Been a while. Actually, my wife wanted to go for our anniversary, so I might be going later this year.
You should just do that. Hey, that's when we're going. Why don't we go together?
Can you do that? Can you do to celebrate one anniversary, can you go on a couple's trip? When only one of you is celebrating an anniversary?
Well, here's the thing is I told you my sister-in-law is coming. So my brother's 40 this year. So we wanted to celebrate my brother's 40th. And we're doing something this weekend actually for it because he turned 40 last week.
Okay.
And my sister as well. They're twins.
What the hell?
My sister does.
She hasn't turned 40 yet, by the way. They're twins. She's like a few weeks behind.
Well, I don't think she wants to do anything big for her 40th. Okay. Like she's like, nah. No, but my brother was like, yes, I do. We're celebrating our 10th wedding anniversary, my husband and I, this year. So he wants to jump on board and celebrate his 40th birthday. And my sister-in-law is also 40 in October.
And let's be honest, you can make up something to celebrate in Vegas.
You can always make up something. But they are coming with us on our anniversary trip where we're going to be at the same hotel we got married at. So they're like, is it weird if we just come? I'm like, it's fine. You can come. It's Vegas. Everyone's welcome. It's fine. So anyway, I'll be in touch with your wife and we'll plan that. You guys can join us.
It's what's going to happen. It is exactly what's going to happen.
You wouldn't wait. One more thing. Sorry, we will close this off because I know we all have busy days. You wouldn't bring your baby to Vegas, right?
No. Well, I mean, I wouldn't want to, but you wouldn't want to. What's the option?
It's amazing the amount of, for sure. No, I hear you because it's amazing to me the amount of children that are there.
Yeah, there were a ton of kids when I was there. Yes, there were. And then you've got the characters.
Yeah.
That people will take pictures with along the way.
Morphed Mickey Mouse and stuff, missing an ear.
There was a Minnie Mouse. And it's hot in Vegas, as you would imagine. So it's probably pretty warm in those suits. There was some male model review walking around, some dudes in short shorts and cowboy hats getting pictures with everybody and showgirls getting pictures and all kinds of stuff. And then this Minnie Mouse was sitting on the side of the curb with the head off. And it was this lady who looked like she was having a dreadful head injury or something like that, where she was just staring off into the distance being like, oh my God, this is so bad.
I watched an Elvis puke in the bush.
Ah!
And then get right back up and start trying to take pictures with people.
You ain't no more to have.
I'm not kidding you. And then like a couple of... I'm going to go out on a limb and say maybe prostitutes. I couldn't tell. Oh, okay. I don't know, but maybe.
Yep.
They were holding up signs that said that they would blow people for money. So I'm that direct. Went over and hung out with them right after he puked in the bushes. And I thought, this is a fun little gang here.
I think I'm just going to go to Planet Hollywood.
Yeah. In other words, we're probably not going to do Vegas. And then you probably don't want to bring your child there.
Yeah,
and I fully understand why.
Maybe I fully understand why.
Anyway, friends, we're going to wrap this up, but we'll probably do another podcast tomorrow, okay? And Scott is fine, and he'll be back this week to answer that question again.
Okay.
Bye.
It was announced that a musical version of Lord of the Rings will open in Chicago. So if you love musicals and you love Lord of the Rings, high school must have been a tough time.
Some big entertainment news. Gary the Golden Bachelor and his wife, Teresa, just announced that they are getting a divorce. Don't laugh that loud. Come on. This is after just 3 months of marriage. Yeah. You could tell the relationship was in trouble a few weeks ago when Gary turned off his hearing aids. You know, you go, Gary, are you listening to me? Gary said, even with all the glaucoma, I saw this coming.
O.J. Simpson died at the age of 76 after a battle with prostate cancer that was planted on him by the LAPD.